I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here today for Leonard Lopate. There have been some unusual detectives in recent crime fiction, like the tattooed computer hacker Lisbeth Salander, but German screenwriter Oliver Pütsch may win the prize for the most unusual. His debut novel, The Hangman's Daughter, is a historical mystery set in mid-17th century Bavaria, and it features Jacob Quisel, the hangman of the town of Schongau, who must investigate a series of murders of young children with what appear to be elements of witchcraft. The book is published by Mariner Books, an imprint of Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and I'm pleased that it's brought Oliver Pütsch to the Leonard Lopate Show today. Welcome.
Welcome you.
So your bio says that you are descended from this family, and I don't know whether I pronounced it correctly.
It's Quisel, but that's Quisel. Okay for me. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I've got 14 hangmen under my ancestors. So, but you don't have to be scared. So the last hangman in my family, he died at the beginning of the 19th century, though it's a long time ago.
So do you know how your family fell into this line of work?
Well, actually, this goes back up to the 16th century, and it's quite unknown how they got into this work. But the problem is that if you were a hangman, you had no choice to get any other occupation. You have to be a hangman, and so they were a dynasty of 300 years in Bavaria. And that's important for me. They had no choice. They had to be hangman.
Yeah. And growing up, was this something that your grandparents talked to you about, or was this something that was a little bit embarrassing and so people didn't speak about it?
So for my grandma, she always, if we got a new kid in the family, she always looked at the kid and said, this is a Quisel or this is not a Quisel.
And what were the distinguishing characteristics here?
So a Quisel for my grandma is not a hangman. It's just that you are quite a tall person. You've got a hook nose and you've got dark hair and a lot of hair. And if you look to me now, I'm not a Quisel at all. I'm blonde. And I hope I haven't got a hook nose. So, when we grow a little bit older, well, my family talked about this, and even when we were hiking in the Alps, and it gets boring for the children, they were telling us some bloody details about that, and so I became more and more interested in these things. And when I was older, about 20 years old, I found out that there was a genealogist in our family. That was the cousin of my grandma. And he's got a huge archive with my family tree, everything in it about our executioners and so on. And this was the reason for me for writing this book, because I found the family tree and I found the name of the Quisels from 300 and 400 years before, and the last name in the family tree was the name of my son, which was born in these days, and it made me very excited. Yeah.
So Jacob, this particular hangman, seems a bit ambivalent about the work that he has to do.
He is, yeah.
And one of the things that I found interesting is he is not only the person who is charged by the town to torture people and kill people, but he is also the person to whom a lot of the townspeople go when they need to be healed.
Yeah, that's right. I found it out. It was very interesting that the people in these days, they didn't go to a physician for healing. The reason is there weren't any physicians in the small villages. They were very expensive, or the people don't trust them. They were considered as quacks. So the people in these times, especially the poor people, they went to the barbers, and to the midwives, and they went to the hangman. Yeah? And now you can ask why is he so good in healing? Maybe I found out that they were very curious, so they examine the bodies to look what's in it. Yeah.
Which was not allowed in a lot of places.
This is a saying. It's but in the 17th century it was allowed, and they had it in the university. But the problem was that there weren't so many bodies which you can examine, because no family want to do that. But if there is a body from the gallows, you can do that with him. So they were very curious. And the other thing is that when they tortured the people, after torturing they healed them before they executed them. This is strange.
It's very gruesome.
but that's true. So they were very good in healing people, and they knew a lot about herbs, for example. Yeah.
In this mystery, there's a lot of anger and fury among the townspeople mm-hmm. when they find these murdered children. And there's a lot of talk of witchcraft. And there's a lot of talk also of, we don't want to recapitulate what happened 60 years ago when mm-hmm. we executed many women mm-hmm. as witches. Was this something that actually happened in Schongau?
Yeah, that's true. This is the most famous witch hunt in Germany. It's in Schongau, where the story is. And they beheaded and burned over 60 women there, so-called witches. And I was thinking about writing a book about that, but this is very famous in Germany, and I was thinking, what is 60 years after that? But it's true, yeah.
And in ways, by writing about the aftermath, you get to look back on it with a lot of different perspectives. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. You have also at the center of this a very strong, almost headstrong young woman in Magdalena. This is Jacob's daughter, the hangman's daughter of the title. As you created her, were you trying to imagine what a woman's life might have been like and twist it a little bit at that moment?
Yeah. I mean, we can't imagine how life was in the 17th century. So if I write a book, a novel about it, and it's an entertainment book, yeah, I always have to lie a little bit. So, but for me, all these books, it's a sequel that I finished now, the fourth book. It's a kind of a, let's say, the emancipation of a woman in this time who is the hangman's daughter. Sometimes the people ask me, why is it called The Hangman's Daughter? Because the first book is just about the hangman, her father. I said, it's a sequel. Well, you will look, and she becomes more and more important then.
So is this the first book in your series?
It's the first one, mm-hmm. yeah.
You say we can't imagine life in the 17th century, mm. but you put in little glimpses that I found fascinating, like Simon, the physician mm-hmm. who's in love with Magdalena. He has just started drinking this new drink that nobody has really tasted called coffee and finds already he's completely addicted to it. And Jacob, the hangman, loves tobacco and can discern between the mediocre tobacco and the new world tobacco.
Yeah.
Were you looking for those kind of details to bring life alive for us?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that you say that, because if you, for persons in a novel, you always need some gimmicks to make them more interesting. And I was thinking, what can be the gimmicks of these persons? And I said, well, they are, when you can say, the first drug users in the 17th century. So this 17th...
And they have herbs and mandrakes, so they've got all of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. So Jakob Kuitel, the hangman, is one of the first smokers, tobacco user, and Simon is one of the first coffee users in this
And case. It is almost like with Sherlock Holmes, you know, the use of it is almost a piece of how they figure out the
puzzle.
Yeah, that's right. I am speaking with Oliver Puch. His new book, The Hangman's Daughter, has just been published by Mariner Books, which is part of Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Now, before we started, you said this is your first visit to New York. And are you surprised that the book has now become, because it's been a bestseller in Europe, and now here it's in the United States?
Believe me, it's like a dream for me to sit here in an American radio station and to talk with you about these things. It's my first time in New York. I've been to the western part of USA, but it's the first time in New York. And I never thought that would come so far. So when I was a kid, I was thinking about being a writer. And then I became a journalist, even for radio stations. And now to see that my books are published in the USA, this is quite amazing.
With that experience as a writer, as a journalist, as a radio person, what was it like to actually write a novel? Was mm-hmm. it a very different experience from the other kind of writing that you've done?
So it's totally different. The writing is totally different because, as you know, if you write for radio or for television, it's just short parts, and that's a long novel. But I think I learned doing research. This is very important as a journalist. You learn this, and the other thing is that you learn to be creative. You just sit there and you know, today I write 4 to 6 pages. Sit down and write this 4 to 6 pages. It's quite the same like doing a work as a journalist. You have to be creative. Yeah.
And you have to have discipline also, but you create it for yourself.
A lot of discipline. Because the first book, when I wrote the first book, I worked as a journalist, and so I had to do it in the evening. So no alcohol in the evening, bring the kids to bed, and then go up to the sleeping room where the computer is and write for 3 or 4 hours.
Now, in this book, although the hangman and his family have to live on the outskirts of town, and really, as he walks through the town, no one will acknowledge him, or they do so very clandestinely, it also looked like it was a respected and skilled trait to be a hangman.
Yeah, it's you've got both sides. On the one hand, it was a dishonorable occupation, like, for example, whores or artists in these times.
Whores, artists, and hangmen.
Yeah, that's it. And nobody was talking to the hangman. As you said, he lived outside of the town. If he went into town, maybe for having a drink, also the hangman likes to drink a beer in the tavern, he has to ask everybody in the tavern if he can sit down there. He's got his own glass to drink. Sometimes he was not allowed to baptize his children or to be buried in a Christian way. So this was very hard. On the other side, they were respected, as you said, as healers. And the people went to them, and they also went to them not only for healing, but just to buy some talisman, some magic stuff there. So they buy parts of the rope, of the gallows rope, or even they buy, I have to say that, sorry, a finger of a thief. If you do the finger in a thief in your purse, it's good against thievery, all these things you get from a hangman.
Ick. That's really very gruesome. With this, though, you focus on a crime that initially everybody thinks is witchcraft because there's a mark on the shoulder of these children who die. Did you find that even after this beheading of 65 women, that witchcraft and the suspicion of witchcraft was still alive in this part of Germany?
Yeah, it was. So I think the last witch which was burned in Europe was in Switzerland at the the end of the 18th century. So the second half of the 17th century was a kind of a peak of witch hunting in Germany. The reason was that before that we have the 30 Years' War in Germany, which was it was the worst war we ever had in Germany. It was even worse than the First and the Second World War. There were areas completely devastated. Half of the population died somewhere. Yeah? We had all these plagues. We've got hunger. We got the highwaymen on the streets. So, and if you got all these problems, you always look for someone you can blame for it. And this is the reason why we had so many witch hunts in these days.
The witch, the woman who is accused of being a witch is a midwife. Mm-hmm. And was there suspicion of midwives because of the work that they did?
Yeah, that's what is said, because in birth in these days, there were only women. There were no men allowed when there was a birth. And this was strange for the men. And they knew that the midwives also had a lot of herbs which were forbidden in these times, and which so-called witch herbs. And this is the reason why a lot of midwives were burned in these days.
You know, you said something just a moment ago about the kind of almost a need to find witches as someone to blame. And that throughout history has led to such terrible results, and throughout German history also, whether it's witches or other people who are the cause of all our...
Also in the States, Salem.
Right. So do you see, as you were writing this, were you thinking about other eras in German history and in world history where people look for people to blame?
Well, you can find this nowadays everywhere. I think it's important for me to say that we didn't change genetic in these last 300 years. It's just 10 generations. We are just socialized. That's everything. So, if we look to these days and torturing and burning people, we'll just see that we are the same persons. We are just socialized. Maybe we read now criminal novels or we go to the cinema to do these things, but we are the same.
As I mentioned at the beginning, this hangman is very ambivalent about the work that he has to do, and it seems to take a tremendous toll on him. He has to get extremely drunk before he goes and tortures or kills the people that he's been charged to do that to. Was this something that you found in your research, that there was the occupational hazard? I can imagine it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So on the day of the execution, there were, I would say there are two people were very excited, two persons were very excited on this day. This was the condemned, was his last day, and the other one was the hangman, because he has got stage fright. There are thousands of people looking to him, and he knew that if he fails, if he causes a massacre, because it's not very easy to behead someone, then he will be lynched. And so
the hangman
will be lynched. And this happened. And so they were very scared. And for this reason, they began to drink a lot before the execution. And I heard of a hangman in Nördlingen, which is a small town in Bavaria. He was so drunk that instead of two persons, he saw seven persons. So you can imagine the execution. And it is said that his wife finished the execution.
Family plays a big part in this, too. Mm-hmm. And Magdalena, the daughter, is willing to fall in love with someone who she's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to end with her. She is a real character. You say in the book that there is a Magdalena in your family tree. But are you imagining the rest of it, that she might have gone on to do things that perhaps a woman might not have been able to do?
Yeah. Sometimes people ask me, Magdalena, she's quite the same than your wife, isn't she? Yeah, maybe. That's when you write, yeah. And, well, these are the best love stories are with when the two persons need a long, long time to come together. But I can tell you in the fourth book, so you have to wait a little bit in the fourth book, they will be together.
Well, that's lovely to know. I've been speaking with Oliver Pritch about his novel, The Hangman's Daughter. It's published by Amazon Crossing. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. ¶¶